Welcome to a new deep dive from AI Unraveled. This show is created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior software engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
That's right.
And hey, if you like what we do here, exploring AI, please take a second to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It really helps.
It does.
So here on the deep dive, you know, we try to sift through all the AI news, cut through the hype, and just pull out the stuff that actually matters for you, give you the insights without, well, making your head spin.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. Our mission today is really to unpack this snapshot from April 24th, 2025. It's a pretty interesting mix.
It really is. We're looking at image generation, AI in the workplace, even robo-taxes. So let's dive in. What are we seeing today?
Well, we've got some developments that aren't just, you know, small tweaks. These could be genuinely transformative shifts. So we want to go beyond just the headlines and figure out what it all means.
Okay, let's kick things off with something: visual image generation. Feels like this space is just exploding, right?
Absolutely. It's moving incredibly fast.
So OpenAI has launched GP Image 1 through its API. Now, an API, for anyone maybe less technical, it's basically a doorway for other software to use this tech.
Exactly. It lets developers plug this power right into their own apps.
And this is the same model that's behind the image stuff in ChatGPT. The one that generated, what, 700 million images in a week?
That's the one. Over 700 million. I mean, that scale is just massive. It really tells you something about the demand, doesn't it?
It really does. People clearly want this.
And the model itself is getting pretty sophisticated. We're talking diverse styles. It can actually render text accurately inside images now, which was a big hurdle.
Oh, right. That was always a giveaway before.
Yeah, and enhanced editing capabilities, too. And the big names are already jumping on board. Adobe, Figma, Canva, they're integrating it.
Wow. Okay, so that's not just a small thing then. When the big creative platforms adopt it,
it signals a real shift, I think. It suggests AI is moving from being maybe a novelty to a core tool for creative pros. Could really, you know, level the playing field a bit for smaller teams or individuals.
And what about the cost? Is this something only big companies can afford?
Well, that's the interesting part. They're using this token-based system. Think of tokens like little building blocks for the AI.
Okay.
So you pay based on the text prompt, any input images, and the final output image. But it works out to roughly, say, 2 to 19 cents per image.
2 to 19 cents. That sounds surprisingly affordable.
It is. And that accessibility is key for driving adoption, right? Plus, developers get some control over moderation levels.
Moderation? How so?
They can choose standard automated filtering or something a bit less restrictive. So there's flexibility, but hopefully it still encourages, you know, responsible use.
Makes sense. And it's not just OpenAI in this race, is it?
Not at all. ByteDance, the TikTok folks, they've launched C-Dream 3.0.
C-Dream 3.0.
Yeah, another text-to-image model, and it's already ranking really high. Number two on the Artificial Analysis Image Arena leaderboard.
Number two already. Wow. So serious competition.
Definitely. It shows this innovation is happening globally with strong players emerging from, well, all over.
Okay, let's shift gears from pictures to the workplace. AI agents. Microsoft's got some new ones.
That's right. They've introduced two, researcher and analyst. And these sound like they're designed for, well, heavier lifting than your average chatbot.
Heavier lifting? Like what?
Like really in-depth research tasks for the researcher agent and complex data analysis, even forecasting for the analyst agent.
Okay, so more specialized roles.
Exactly. And they're integrated with M365 Copilot, Microsoft's AI productivity suite. It's part of their Frontier early access program.
Frontier program.
Yeah, it lets certain companies test these advanced agents and even build what they're calling autonomous multi-agent systems.
Autonomous multi-agent systems sounds complex. Like teams of AI working together.
Pretty much. Groups of AI collaborating independently on complex goals. It really signals AI becoming less of a tool you use and more of a maybe proactive partner.
Interesting. And Microsoft's research seems to support the direction, right? They're seeing benefits in companies that adopt AI early.
Yeah, their findings are quite telling. Companies leading in AI adoption are reporting higher rates of employees feeling like they're thriving.
Thriving. That's significant.
It is. And also an increased ability to handle bigger workloads and even more optimism among workers. That's a pretty compelling package.
It definitely is. It connects to their idea of frontier firms, doesn't it?
Right. The vision where maybe in just the next 2 to 5 years, every employee could become an agent boss.
An agent boss. So managing AI agents becomes part of everyone's job.
That seems to be the idea. Directing and orchestrating AI work, it obviously has huge implications for job roles, productivity, how we even structure work.
Yeah, you have to wonder, though, if everyone's an agent boss, does that mean certain skills become less valuable? Or do we just need a new layer of people managing the AIs?
That's a really good question. The potential downsides, the risks of de-skilling, it's something we need to think about. It probably means the focus shifts more to, you know, strategic thinking, creativity, judgment, the human stuff needed to guide and interpret the AI.
Makes sense. And others are jumping into this agent space too, right? NVIDIA,
oh, yeah.
BMW.
Yeah. NVIDIA released its NeMo microservices suite tools for businesses to build their own AI agents.
Okay.
And BMW is planning to put AI models from a Chinese startup, DeepSeek, into its cars in China. So agents are definitely popping up across different industries.
It feels like it's becoming quite pervasive.
It does. And speaking of making work easier, there's another development with Anthropic's Claude AI. It's getting better at meeting prep.
Oh, meeting prep. Anything that helps with that is welcome. It can be such a time sink.
Totally agree. So Claude can now look at your emails, your calendar, relevant documents, and then generate briefings for you, suggest agendas, even draft follow-up notes afterwards.
Really? How does that work? You just give it permission?
Yeah, you enable Gmail and calendar search within Claude settings, then you can ask it things.
Like what? Could I say, who's coming to the Tuesday meeting and what did we talk about last time?
Exactly that kind of thing. You could prompt it, summarize the attendees for the marketing meeting next Tuesday, or maybe review my emails with Sarah from Acme Core from the last month and pull out the key points for our project discussion.
Wow. That could actually save a lot of time and make meetings, well, maybe more productive.
That's the goal. Better prep, more efficiency, everyone on the same page.
So AI is weaving itself into our work, our tools.
Yeah.
Which naturally brings up the bigger picture questions. Governance. Ethics.
Right. And there's some significant news on that front. A group including former OpenAI folks and well-known AI experts.
Like Jeffrey Hinton, Margaret Mitchell.
Exactly. Those kinds of names. They're urging authorities to block OpenAI's planned transition.
The move to become a for-profit public benefit corporation. Why block it?
The core concern is about priorities. The worry is that shifting away from the nonprofit oversight structure could mean, you know, investor interests start to outweigh the public good, especially considering the development of AGI, artificial general intelligence.
AGI being the goal of human-level AI.
Precisely. And having figures like Hinton and Mitchell involved really adds weight to these concerns.
And there's big money involved too, isn't there? State AG approval, that SoftBank investment.
Yeah, it needs approval from attorneys general, and there's reportedly a massive $40 billion SoftBank investment hanging in the balance, contingent on this structural change.
$40 billion, wow.
It really throws that tension into sharp relief, doesn't it? Innovation versus responsible development. Commercial drive versus the public interest.
And didn't some former employees also make a move related to the Elon Musk lawsuit earlier?
They did. It just adds another layer to the complex debates happening inside and around these major AI labs about their direction and, well, their ultimate purpose.
It raises fundamental questions about how we should structure the development of potentially world-changing tech.
Absolutely. How do you make sure safety and societal benefit aren't sidelined in the race for profit? It's a critical discussion.
Okay, let's shift from the boardroom battles to the streets. Robotaxis. Tesla is actually doing trials now.
They are. Supervised trials, mind you, with employees in Austin and the Bay Area using their full self-driving tech.
Supervised, meaning there's still a human driver.
Yes. For now, they plan to launch a commercial ride-hailing service by June 2025, starting with the safety drivers, but the goal is full autonomy eventually.
And they're using regular Teslas.
Existing models, yeah, just fitted with passenger screens. So it's a real step, even if it starts with a human backup.
It definitely feels more tangible. You can almost picture hailing one next year, even with the driver there initially.
Right, and it gives us a peek at how cities might change, you know, traffic, parking, maybe even whether people need to own cars as much.
The potential impact is huge.
Transformative, potentially, for urban transport.
Meanwhile, Back in the chatbot world, the competition's still fierce. Google shared some numbers.
Yeah, during an antitrust hearing, interestingly, they revealed their AI chatbot, Gemini, hit 350 million monthly active users back in March 2025.
350 million? That's a lot of users.
It's impressive growth, for sure. Shows how mainstream these tools are becoming.
But still behind competitors like ChatGPT, right?
That's the context, yes. Still trailing the leaders in overall user numbers, but it shows Google is a major player in this space, making significant inroads. The landscape's definitely competitive.
No kidding. And we're not just typing at these AIs anymore, are we? Voice assistants are getting smarter. Perplexity launched one.
They did, on iOS. And it sounds like it aims to do more than just, you know, set a timer or tell you the weather.
Like what kind of things?
More complex stuff via voice. Drafting emails, setting detailed reminders, maybe even booking reservations. It runs within the Perplexity app, can work in the background.
Okay, so it's leveraging Perplexity's AI search smarts, presumably.
That seems to be the angle. Positioning itself as a more capable alternative to Siri or Google Assistant. There are limits, of course, no screen sharing, doesn't access all the native iOS stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it can tap into other services, and premium users get unlimited access. They also released a separate Perplexity Assistant app, too, with more advanced agentic actions and voice-controlled web browsing.
Agentic actions. Like it can do things for you.
That's the idea. Moving beyond just answering questions, it feels like another step towards more natural voice interaction with our tech.
Yeah, like just talking your phone and having it actually understand and do complex things. Getting closer.
Definitely moving in that direction.
Okay, let's talk money. Where's the investment going? Neuralink is raising funds.
Reportedly, yes. Elon Musk's brain-computer interface company, seeking around $500
million. $500
million.
And the valuation?
Pre-money valuation is pegged at around $8.5
billion. $8.5
billion.
That's a huge jump from their last valuation, isn't it?
It is. Significantly higher than reported figures from, say, late 2023. It likely reflects a lot of investor confidence, especially after they got FDA clearance for human trials and did their first implant.
Right. The focus is on helping people with mobility issues.
Primarily, yes, among other potential neurological applications. It's definitely high-risk, high-reward stuff, pushing boundaries.
And speaking of big numbers, OpenAI's future projections,
yeah,
they're pretty astronomical.
They really are. Reportedly forecasting sales hitting $125 billion in 2029.
$125 billion.
And then $174 billion in 2030.
Wow. That banking on massive adoption, AI agents taking off. Enterprise deals.
Exactly. It shows the scale of ambition and the belief in AI becoming, well, a dominant economic force woven into everything.
It certainly paints a picture. But with all this speed and money, there are bound to be bumps in the road, right? Concerns?
Absolutely. We're seeing some emerge, like with WhatsApp and its Meta AI assistant.
What's the issue there?
Well, its build is optional, but users apparently can't fully turn it off. It might still pop up in search, potentially collecting data passively. That's raising some obvious privacy flags.
Yeah, if you can't truly opt out, that's tricky. Undermines user control.
It does. It's that constant tension between adding features and respecting privacy.
And beyond privacy, there are bigger economic worries, too. Tariffs. Global instability?
Yeah. Economists are warning that rising tariffs, geopolitical issues, general economic turmoil, it could actually threaten the AI investment boom.
How so?
It could delay hardware deployment, getting the chips and servers needed, and it could just generally tighten up funding for R&D. The AI race doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's tied to the global economy.
That makes sense. Reality check, perhaps? And then there's the news about a truly autonomous AI agent. One that works without human oversight.
Yes, apparently in limited testing, an agent capable of performing tasks completely on its own.
That sounds powerful.
Yeah.
And maybe a little scary.
It definitely raises significant questions. The potential for efficiency is huge, obviously. But so are the concerns about control, accountability, unintended consequences. You know, the classic AI safety problems.
Ensuring alignment with human values becomes even more critical then.
Paramount, I'd say, especially as these systems get more autonomous.
It's not all just tech companies and labs, though. AI is filtering into other sectors, too, like education.
Right. President Trump signed an executive order focused on boosting AI in K-12 schools.
What's the goal there?
More funding for pilot programs, teacher training, updating curricula. Basically acknowledging that kids need to be prepared for an AI-driven future. AI literacy as a core skill.
Makes sense. And in healthcare. We mentioned Neuralink, but other things do.
Yes, Tempus AI is partnering with big pharma AstraZeneca Pathos.
To do what?
To build a large multimodal foundation model specifically for cancer treatment discovery.
Multimodal meaning it uses different kinds of data.
Exactly. Genomics, imaging, clinical records, pulling it all together to hopefully speed up finding new treatments and personalized care. Huge potential impact there.
It really sounds like it. Okay, let's pause for just a moment here. We'll be right back after a quick word about an exciting tool for continuous learning in this rapidly evolving AI landscape. If you're looking to master in-demand certifications in fields like cloud, finance, cybersecurity, healthcare, business, and quite a few more, be sure to check out Etienne Newman's AI-powered JamGetTech app. It's designed specifically to help you prep for and pass over 50 different certifications. Seriously useful stuff. You'll find the link for it right there in the show notes.
Okay, so bringing this deep dive for April 24th, 2025, toward a close.
Oh, wow, we've covered a lot.
We really have. From AI making pictures.
Right, to AI agents becoming colleagues.
To the ethical debates around OpenAI's future.
Robotaxis hitting the streets, even if supervised.
Chatbot user numbers, smarter voice assistants.
Huge funding rounds, massive future projections.
And also those important concerns about privacy, the economy, and autonomous AI.
It's a whirlwind, but I think the main thing to take away is so what? For you listening.
Yeah, is that these aren't just tech headlines anymore. They represent real fundamental shifts happening right now. How we create, how we work, how we interact with technology. It's all changing.
It feels less like science fiction and more like, well, just reality now. These things are starting to impact our daily lives.
Exactly. And that leads us to maybe a final thought, something for you to chew on.
Okay, let's hear it.
With AI weaving itself into, well, pretty much everything from the images we see to our meeting prep, maybe soon our commutes, even potentially making decisions on its own, what do you think are the most critical questions we absolutely need to be asking right now about how it's developed and rolled out?
That's a big one. Finding that balance, right? Between pushing innovation forward and making sure we have the right guardrails, the right oversight.
Precisely. It's complex, and thinking critically about that balance is going to be more important than ever as this tech keeps advancing.
A really important point to end on. Well, thank you for diving deep with us today into all these AI developments.
Always a pleasure.
And hey, if you want to keep your own learning journey going, maybe master some critical certifications in cloud, cybersecurity, finance, all those key areas, don't forget to check out Etienne Newman's AI-powered JamGetTech app. Like I said, the link is right there in the show notes.
Definitely worth a look.
Until our next deep dive, keep exploring, stay curious, and thanks for listening.